today's daf is Nida daf Mem Aleph. We left off in the bottom of daf Mem Amid Beis, but we're right in the middle of a discussion. Just as a reminder, the Mishnah had recorded a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon about a C-section. A baby born via C-section, does that halachically count as a Leda, or does it not count as a Leda? The Shita of the Chacham of the Tanakhama was that there's no Yumei Tumma, Yumei Tara, there's no Chiv Karban of a Yoledes. It simply does not count as a Leda, but Rabbi Shimon says, Hayreze ki yalu, that it absolutely does count as a Leda. Somewhere in the middle of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan was mechadesh that even though Rabbi Shimon holds that a C-section is a Leda, that's in the human world that we consider a C-section a Leda, but Rabbi Shimon would be mode that when it comes to Behemas Kadshim, an animal that was born with C-section is not Kadosh, does not have the ability to have Kedusha to be brought as a Karban on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan, about 10 lines from the bottom, Mem Amud Aleph, had said that mode Rabbi Shimon b'Kadshim she'eino Kadosh. So then at the very end of Daf Mem Amud Aleph, we said we have a Messiah Leila Rabbi Yochanan. We'll prove that Rabbi Yochanan is correct in his understanding of Rabbi Shimon's Shita, that a behema that's born with C-section is not considered to be Kadosh, and we quoted this long brisa that discussed the halacha of Im Alu Lo Yerdu, of the various psulim, that if they're already brought on the Mizbeach, even though you're not supposed to bring them on the Mizbeach, but once you already bring them on the Mizbeach, there's no chiyuv to bring them down from the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Shimon said that what's included on that list of Im Alu Lo Yerdu, animals that are possible because they were shechted belaila, because their blood spilled out all over the floor before they got a zrika done, because their blood went out chutz l'klayim, they had a psulina, psul yotze, psul tame, the psul nosar, nishchad chutz l'zman of chutz l'mkama, they were piggle, they were possible, all of these various things, a possible person did the kabbalah or the zrika, those bloods that were supposed to be put on the top half of the mizbeach that were put on the bottom, or vice versa, those that were supposed to be put on the inner mizbeach were put on the outer, or vice versa, Karban Pesach or Chatas that were done Shalol Lishma. All of these things are karbanos that are pasul, but if you put them on the mizbeach, then when you take then you would not take them off the mizbeach. Im alu lo yerdu. But then Rabbi Shimon went on to say, and we'll pick up from here about four lines before the end of the page on Memam Beis, Yachol shani marbe es haroveya v'hanirva v'hamuktza v'hanevad v'esnan v'mechir v'aklayim v'atrefa v'yotze dofen. I might think that this list of psulim as well, if is included in the halacha that imalu lo yerdu, including a yotze dofen, an animal that was born via C-section, I might think that imalu lo yerdu, that if it goes up on the mizbeach, it cannot be brought, it should not be brought down from the mizbeach. Tamalomar zos. That's why the pasuk says zos, and from the word zos we learn that these psulim are different. These psulim are so bad that even if they were ola on the mizbeach, you need to take them off of the mizbeach. So the let's see, what's the entire pasuk that we're quoting? What does it say over here? Let's see if it has the whole pasuk. Yeah, tzavas aron vezbanav lemar zos toras haola hi haola al moktal mizbeach kol alayla adaboker veisham mizbeach tukadvo. So that's the pasuk. Vayikra perek vav pasuk beis. Okay, so bottom line is, you see that Reb Shimon holds that these psulim, including the yotzei dofen, im alu, if they go up in the mizbeach, they would even be yored, you'd even have to be morid them from the mizbeach. So, mari isa l'rabu seselu l'hotzi eselu, why do we include in the halacha of im alu lo yerdu the whole list of about a dozen psulim that we mentioned throughout the majority of this amud, and we exclude from that din of im alu lo yerdu these few psulim of roveya nirva muktza nevad eston mechir klaim trefa and yotzei dofen? So, achar shariba akasuv umiyet, because we assume once we have a riboy in the pasuk and we have a miyut in the pasuk, meaning that beyond your typical karbanola, there are other psulim that are going to be im alu lo yerdu, and beyond your typical karbanola, there are going to be certain psulim that are going to be im alu yerdu. So we have to figure out which ones to include in the halacha and which ones to exclude from the halacha. So marba niyaselu shay psulim bekodesh umotzia niyaselu shaloi psulim bekodesh. So we have a very simple way of dividing it up. We include in the halacha of im alu lo yerdu those that are psulim bekodesh, where the psul happens after they come into the Azara. But those that are pasul from even prior to entering the Azara, those are excluded from this halacha of imalu lo yardu, meaning they would be, you would have to be morid them from the Mizbeach. So which are the ones that we say imalu lo yardu? Psul of lan, of yotze, tamei, nosar, pigel. These are all things that happen after it's already bakodesh. These are things that happen during the avoda. But the other psulim, muktza, nirva, nevad, esnan, these are psulim that occur before the animal, or at least can occur before the animal ever entered the kodesh, and therefore they're considered to be, I guess, more thoroughly pasul, to the point that even if it went up on the mizbeach, you would have to be morid it from the mizbeach. Now that definition of psulim b'kodesh, Tosos has some difficulty with. Tosos writes, shein psulim yachol lios ad achar shuhuktash av l'roveh v'nir v'matzi lios bo'odin chulmin. Tosos first quotes Rashi's definition of psulim b'kodesh. That psulim b'kodesh are those types of psulim that could only be after it's already in the kodesh, as opposed to those psulim that could have happened even before it went into the kodesh. But fractosus v'kasha, damrin b'zvachim perichatos sa'ov, zar v'sakin mitamin. Begadim abeis ablia, it should be. Yeah, it changes it to the side. Zar v'sakin mitamin begadim abeis ablia. Alma chashiv ein psulim b'kodesh, that psul zar and psul of a problem with the sakin is not considered psulim b'kodesh. Avgaz lo shaychi ad achar shuhukdash, even though this can only be after the animal is already hukdash. V'smol v'layla nami have a mitamin ilav di islu hechsher b'makom acher k'dam rasam. V'dokin shabayim kama Rabbi Akiva dim ol lo yerdu mishum de kasher ba'ov. All of these things, the Dokin Shaba'ayin, using your left hand in the Avoda, all of these things are, Dokin Shaba'ayin is considered Psula B'Kodesh, Dokin Shaba'ayin would be considered, small would be considered Ein Psula B'Kodesh, right? So how does that fit our definition? Afagav D'Yachalios Kodem Hekdesh, even though Dokin Shaba'ayin is something that could certainly happen before you were ever Makdish it. So V'Nir L'Farish, Deicha D'Kayotzi B'Kosher B'Makom Acher, Kari Psula B'Kodesh. Whenever you could have a similar type of problem that would be kosher in a different context, that's called Psula B'Kodesh. V'nishchat B'Layla Islay Hechsher Be'var Mupdarim. So why is Nishchat B'Layla considered to be Psula that which is Psula B'Kodesh? Because it is it's kosher b'makom acher, namely by Evar Mupdarim. You burn the Evar Mupdarim Kala Laila, and therefore it has a din of Psula B'Kodesh. V'yotze Dama Shekin Kasher Be'emurim. V'emurim Shekin Kasher B'Bama. V'nishma, and goes through each of the ones. V'nishma Dama Kivin Shagabala Yisa B'Hekshar Mikri Psula B'Kodesh. So he says, Lashem Psula B'Kodesh Hainu She'en Kan Psul Gomar Gamur Elenifsal B'Kedusha So. Psul B'Kodesh is not about when it became Pasul, it's about the type of Psul that it is. It's a type of Psul that's not a complete Psul, but it's Nifsal B'Kedusha So. Because of this particular type of Kedusha that this particular Korban has, that's why it's subject to this Psul. It's not about when the Psul occurs, the way Rashi understands. And so that's how Tosos reads it. But why are we quoting this entire drasha from the Brisa with Rabbi Shimon, where he's Marbe Eselu, Moti Eselu from the din of Imalu Lo Yerdu? So the Gemara spells it out. Katani Mias, third line from the top, Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph. Katani Mias, Yotze Dofen, Delo. We say that Yotze Dofen is on the list of things that Imalu Yerdu, that it's not included in the halacha of Imalu Lo Yerdu. My love, Yotze Dofen de Kachim. Aren't we talking about a Yotze Dofen that you were Makdish and apparently it has no Kedusha whatsoever? And that's why it's Im'alu Yerdu, because it doesn't even have Kedusha. Those things that are Im'alu Lo Yerdu are things that have Kedusha, but they became Pasul. This Yotzei Dofen, like Rabbi Shimon said, like Rabbi Yochanan understood in Rabbi Shimon, that even though normally Yotzei Dofen is a Leida, but by Kodesh, it would not gain the status of Kedusha when it's a Yotzei Dofen. So isn't this a Raya that Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Shimon correctly, because it's Rabbi Shimon speaking in this Braisa? No, this is not a raya at all that Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Shimon correctly, because this is not about a yotzei dofen that you were makdish. This is yotzei dofen de bechor. This is telling us that if the animal, if you were treating this animal of kedushas bechor, you're bringing it as a korban as a bechor, and it turned out it was a yotzei dofen. That's where we say emalu yardu. But a regular behema that happened to have been born through C-section that you were makdish, maybe in a chinami, Rabbi Shimon would say that it is kadosh and that it would not be included in the salach of imalu yardu. So bechar says, "More, wait a second. From to tell me that a bechar that it wouldn't have kedushas bechar, I need Rabbi Shimon to darshan from the word zos to tell me that it doesn't have any kedushas bechar and that you would have to bring it off the mizbech." No, mi peter rechem nafka. I already know it doesn't have kedushas bechar because when the Torah describes the kedusha of a bechar, the Torah is very specific to say only that which is peter rechem, that which emerges from the womb. And obviously, a yotzei dofen does not emerge from the womb, so it can't be that Rabbi Shimon is talking about a bechar. Rabbi Shimon must be talking about a regular kachim animal. So says Gemara Elamai, the kachim. You think it works any better if you say we're talking about a kachim animal? May imo imo nafka. We had a drasha yesterday that we learned from a gzereshava of imo that a regular kachim animal also doesn't have kedusha unless it comes straight from the rechem. So why would I need a separate pasuk of zos to tell me to take it off of the mizbeach? It should be obvious that you take it off of the mizbeach. Meaning, whichever way you turn, whichever way you want to understand Rabbi Shimon's case of the yotzei dofen that you remove from the mizbeach, it's difficult why he needs his own drasha, why he needs a new drasha. If it's din bechor, we already know it from peter rechem. If it's a din in regular beimis kachim, we already know it from imo imo. So why does Rabbi Shimon need his own drasha of zos? So hi mai. If it's talking about regular kachim, I understand that you need two psukim to teach me that a C-section animal does not have kedusha of regular kachim. That if you try to be makdish, it does not have regular kedusha. Why do I need two psukim? Because there are two very different cases that one can imagine with being makdish a yotzei dofen. One is the standard case that we've been talking about until this time, where you have a regular chulin animal, gives birth, except it doesn't give birth, it's a yotzei dofen, has a child, has an offspring, through yotzei dofen, through a C-section, and then you're makdish that baby, you're makdish that little animal, the yotzei dofen. So it comes to tell me, I need one drasha to tell me the kedusha is not chal, it's an invalid hekdish. The chad, and I need another pasuk to tell me, lebehemas kachim to ol the derech dofen, to tell me that a behemas kachim that gives birth, normally behemas kachim that gives birth, the baby is also kadosh. So I need another pasuk to tell me that if the baby came out via C-section, the baby will not be kadosh. And the Gemara just adds in a line, v'kasavar vlados kachim bav yaschen hem kadoshim, that we must be assuming, or we might be assuming, that vlados kachim, even though we know that a vlad of a mother that is kachim, the vlad is also going to be kachim, but that does not occur upon conception. That only occurs upon birth, and therefore, since this animal didn't have a normal birth, it came out derech dofen. That kedusha never goes to the offspring. Rashi doesn't like that we're goreis that line. Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, v'ksav vlad is kachim bav yasnei kedoshim, says nir be'inei delo garsinan lei. We can't have this gears of this line. Upirish meshubashu. It's totally mistaken. De kolshken the Rashi says it seems that the Gemara is forgetting that we have a pasuk that Rabbi Shimon uses to teach me that there is no kedusha in this case. So even if you hold that, and certainly if you hold that the animal, the offspring of a kadosh animal becomes kadosh mishas yitzira from the time of conception, the pasuk can still be teaching me, yeah, but if it comes out derech dofen, it loses that kedusha. Even if it had that kedusha, that's exactly the chiddush akra, that it loses that kedusha. In fact, if the whole kedusha of the animal only is chal when the animal is born, maybe I don't even need a pasuk of zos, because this animal was never born per se. This animal came out derech dofen. So maybe even without the pasuk of zos, I could have known that that it doesn't have kedusha from its mother. But so that's what Tosfos tries to say. No, you would still need Zos according to this, according to the Shita of Bav Yasin and Kadoshim as well. According to the Shita that upon emergence from the mother, it becomes Kadosh, you would still need Zos because Rabbi Shimon holds that Yotzi Dofen generally does count as a Leda. So I would have thought without the word Zos that this is like a regular birth, and therefore the Behema should be Kadosh. So that's why it comes to tell me Zos that no, this Behema is not Kodesh, even I need Zos to tell me this Behema is not Kodesh, even if you hold Bahavyasan Hein Kadoshim. So okay, so that line is somewhat controversial. Rashi doesn't like it, others defend why it's there. But what the Gemara is trying, the bigger picture, what the Gemara is trying to do right now is to tell me that if Rabbi Shimon's case of Yotzei Dofen is talking about a regular animal, not talking about a Bechor, just talking about a regular animal that you are Makdish, and it's telling me that the Kedusha is not going to be Chal if that animal is a Yotzei Dofen, I understand that I need a drasha of Imo Imo, and I need a pasuk of Zos, because there are two very distinct cases, in both of which I need to be told that that animal doesn't have Kedusha. A case where it's a regular chulin animal that goes through the Yotzei Dofen birth, and then I makdish it, and a case where the animal is born from a Kadosh mother through Yotzei Dofen, that the Kedusha is not going to be there. That's why I need two drushas. Eli Amrit de Bechar, but if you're going to say we're talking about a Bechar, well, a Bechar, there are no two cases. By a Bechar, it's Kadosh as a result of it being a Bechar. It doesn't have to have a Kadosh mother, and a Kadosh mother doesn't change its status as a Bechar. It's obviously talking about just a regular mother, and it's just born. So one pasuk alone will teach me that only Petarechem, only if it comes out through the womb, is it going to be Kadosh. But if it comes out in Yotzei Dofen, then it's not going to be Kadosh. So therefore, you know for sure that Rabbi Shimon, when he talks about the Yotzei Dofen, is talking about a regular animal that you're makdish, and you see that Rabbi Shimon holds the Kedusha is not Chal at all because it's a Yotzei Dofen. So at the end of the day, what we've now said is Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon is provable from this Braisa that we quoted on Mem Amud Beis. The fact that Rabbi Shimon says that a Yotzei Dofen, im olu yerdu, that if it goes up on the Mizbeach, you need to bring it down, we know that he's not talking about a Bechar, he's talking about a regular Yotzei Dofen, that you were Makdish, Imalu, Yerdu, you need to bring it down because it has no Kedusha. So you see that Rabbi Shimon, even though he normally holds that Yotzei Dofen counts as a Leda, not by Hegdish, not by Behemoth Kodshim. So says Gemara Achinami Mistavra, Midiktani Haroveya, Vanirva, Vamukza, Vanevad, Vaklaim, and it's very Mistavra to assume that you need two Psukim for the case of a regular Yotzei Dofen that you're Makdish, one to tell me the case of a regular case and one to tell me a case where it's born from a Kadosh mother. And how do I know that you need two Psukim? Because also included in the Drasha of Zos in the Braisa was Roveya, Nirva, Mukza, Nevad, Klayim. Well, Hani Mehachanafka, do we really need the Pasuk of Zos to tell me that these animals have no Kedusha? Mehasam Nafka, we already know that they have no Kedusha. We darshan the Pasuk as follows. Min ha-behema, the whole pasuk reads, Daber al-bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, Adam ki yakrav mikem, korban la-Hashem. When you bring korban la-Hashem, it should be min ha-behema, min ha-bakar, u-min ha-tzon, takrivus korban chem. So we darshan as follows. Min ha-behema, lahotzi ha-roveh ha-va-nirva. Min ha-behema comes to exclude a roveh ha-va-nirva from Kedusha. Min ha-bakar, lahotzi ha-saneva. Min ha-tzon, lahotzi ha-samukta. U-min ha-tzon, the extra vav, lahotzi ha-sanogeach. So we already have Psukim to tell me that all of these animals aren't Kadosh. Why does Rabbi Shimon need Zos in the Braisa to tell me that these animals have no Kedusha and therefore Malu Yerdu? Visu, Klayim Mehachanavka. And also, do we learn Klayim from the word Zos? Mehasam Nafka. We have another Pasuk tell me that a behemoth Klayim is Imolu Yerdu. Sharu Kesav O'ez. Shar Pratla Klayim. O'ez Pratla Nidma. Shar tells me to exclude Klayim. Ez tells me to exclude Nidma. Nidma means that it's not a product of a mixed union between its parents, but it's a product of two parents who are like each other, but he's not like the parents. Meaning both parents, as Rashi Rashi explains, of v'imo min eiz v'u keves. Both parents are goats, but somehow the baby came out as a sheep. So bottom line is, we already know all of these from other drushas. So why do I need a drush of zos to tell me that imolu yardu, they're chulin? Of course imolu yardu, meaning that they don't have any kedusha. If you put chulin on the mizbeach, you have to take it down from the mizbeach. It's not kadosh. So what's the big chiddush? Elis shrichu trekrai. So here's why I need two psukin. Chad the behemas chulin, the chad the behemas kachim. That one to tell me a case of a behemas chulin that suffers from these problems, meaning a behemas chulin that was roveya nirv etc. And then I was makdish it, where it's still chulin because the hektish isn't chal. And one to tell me that if it was a roveya nirv that already had kedusha, it was already behemas kachim. Maybe it was born from a kadosh mother, or it was already kadosh from before, and then it was a roveya nirv klaim etc. So you need two drushes. So hakanami yitzchuk trekrai. So it makes sense if on the list of if you find yotzei dofen on a list that includes roveya nirva muksa nevad esna mechir klein, and all the other ones on the list require two psukim to teach me that imol yerdu, because there are two different permutations of how you can have these cases, so you need two psukim. It stands to reason that yotzei dofen is going to need two psukim as well, and that's why we know that we're not talking about a bechar, we're talking about a regular yotzei dofen situation that the animal does not have any kedusha. Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon is 100% correct. Now, Tosos just points out over here, when we say the Isrich Trey Krei, we need two psukim. Frek Tosos, we should really need three psukim. Tosos points out in the fourth wide line, medium sized line, Vim Tomar, Vili Bay Gimel Krei. Shouldn't we require three psukim? Bekala Psulim, Kimo Betrefa, the Chashav Hachabadayu, the Perakamid, the Menachos Matzuch, Beis Krei Betrefa, Chadle Nitrefa Kodemekdesha, the Chadle Nitrefa La Acharekdesha. Now, by trefa, it turns out that we actually have three psukim. We have a pasuk that tells me if the animal becomes a trefa before it became kadosh. Pasuk that tells me that it becomes a trefa after it becomes kadosh, that it loses its kedusha. And the pasuk of zos over here to tell me that imalatere, that it would have to be brought down from the mizbech. So vachinim b'shar psulim. Why don't we say by all the other psulim as well? Liboy trei krai below krad zos. Even without zos, you should need two other psukim. Chad lekodem hegdish, v'chad leacher hegdish. Delo yalu. And those two psukim are to tell me the ikar din that you can't be malid on the mizbech. And then zos would come and teach me that if you were malid on the mizbech, that you need to bring it down from the mizbech. V'krad zos liyardu. So it says Tosas Yeshlom are keeping the Gadol and Krabi Treifa, where then the Sharp Sulim. It's a Mematzinu. Once we have a Pasuk, it's a Binyanav, we have a Pasuk by Treifa that already tells me that you have before Hagdish and after Hagdish, that it's all going to be included in Yerdu. So too, we know that the same would be true by other psulim. So you don't need that third limud by the other psulim. You only need the two limudim by the other psulim. Okay, so that's how Tosa understands. Period. That's the end of that discussion about Alu Yerdu and exactly how and the raya that to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Let's go back to the original machlokas though. What was the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? Tanakama held C-section baby, human beings, back in the human world now. C-section baby, Tanakama held, is not a leida. There's no tumas leida. There's no tara, yimei tara. There's no karban. Rabbi Shimon held full-fledged leida. You have the tumma, you have the tara, you have the karban. So says Gemara, we have a braisa. Tan Rabbanan. Hamakasha shloshi yam v'yotza vlad derech dofen harezi yoledes b'zov. Let's say a woman bleeds from her uterus for 3 days with labor pains, and then she has a C-section. She was trying to deliver, and they have to do a C-section. So that is Yoledes Bezov, the Tanakhama says. She's a Zava. That is not called Damkoshi. If it happened during the Yiral of Yom Shabbat Nida L'Nida, that is, she's a Zava Gedola. Rabbi Shimon Omer ain't Yoledes Bezov. Rabbi Shimon says, no, she's not a Zava. Now, even though Tanakhama says, Harezu Yoledes Bezov, he doesn't really mean Yoledes. He means Harezu Zov. I mean, Tanakhama holds that it's not a Yoledes. She doesn't have a din of Yoledes. But what he's trying to say is, because she doesn't have a din of Yoledes, it's a Zava. Because if she did have a din of Yoledes, then you'd be able to say it's Dam Koshi. But since she doesn't have a din of Yoledes, you've just viewed this as regular Ziva, so she's Zava Gedola. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the baby came out C-section, that's okay, that's called a Leda. And therefore, if she bled for 3 days right up until what we consider a Leda, a birth, so that's not Ziva, that's not Yoledes Bezov, that's all Dam Koshi, so that's Tahar, that's fine. she'd be tame as a yoledes, but there's no tuma machmas the dam. It's not a yoledes bezov. So that's one dispute between Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. V'dam ha'yotzei misham. Now the blood that comes out from there, tamei, Rabbi Shimon mitayr. Tanakam holds as tamei, Rabbi Shimon holds as tahar. So the Gemara says, okay, the first part was easy to understand. Bishlam ha'resha, the first machlokas we got. Rabbi Shimon l'tamei, Rabbanon l'tamei. It was very direct that it is Rabbi Shimon l'shitasa, Rabbanon l'shitasam. Rabbi Shimon holds it is a leida, holds that therefore this is not dam ziva, it's dam leida, and the Rabbanon hold that it's not a leida, holds it's dam ziva, perfect. El Seifa b'may pligi, but what exactly is the case in the Seifa that they're arguing about? Now, Rashi points out the simple reading would say that we're talking about the dam that comes out with the baby, and that Tanakama holds that such dam is going to be tamei, and Rabbi Shimon holds such dam is going to be tahar. One big problem with that, Rashi points out, El Seifa b'may pligi halak alameimar dam ayotzi imo derech dofen ye tamei kedam aleda, that it should be tamei like dam leda dimkei nip. Because then the shitos are backwards. Rabbi Shimon matame dam Rav Vladhu v'cham matarim. It should be Rabbi Shimon who says tame that it's a vlad and therefore it has a din of dam leida. And the chamish say it's dam maka. The chamish should say it's like anytime she cuts her finger open, because that's not a leida. That's it's just dam maka, and it has absolutely nothing to do with any sort of tumah. So that's the problem. Meaning you can't read it kipshuta. There is a pashut reading over here, but the pashut reading will lead us with shitos that are backwards. So that's why we can't go with that. So what's our alternative? So the Gemara is going to give two alternatives. Number one, Amar Ravina, kigon sheyatza vlad derech dofen, v'dam derech rechem. The case is the vlad comes out derech dofen, and the dam comes out derech rechem. The vlad comes out C-section, dam comes out through the vaginal canal, normal way. Vaz Rabbi Shimon l'tamei v'rabbanon l'tamayu. And this is Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanon lishi tasam. So, meaning the point is, it works out great, because who's mitame over here? It was dam yotzei misham. The Tanakama was mitame. Why? Because the dam came out derech rechem. So that's why the
days.
What?
It came out in three different days.
It came out in three. It would be zava gadol if it came out in three different days. It would be zava ketana if it comes out in one day. Right. It's just as tame. It's a tummy. So it's ziva, right? It's not leida, so it's ziva. And Rabbi Shimon's metayer because it's dam koshi. What? Where is it? Where are you? Yeah. But that's the first machlokas. Then there's a second case in the brisa. V'dama yotzi misham, and this time at a different. Right? Different situation.
Is the
No, it's not. It's clear in the Gemara it's not that way. No. This is a new machlokas. This is a separate machlokas. The Makash Shloshiyam is obviously Derech. Makash Shloshiyam is obviously Derech Rechem. That can't be Derech Dofen. They only cut her up on the third day. So that's obviously not Derech Dofen. That's only Derech Rechem. Then the second machlokas.
That's what it says.
V'yatzavlad derech dofen. The blood, though, obviously is derech rechem in mekasha shloshi yamim. Because if the blood was derech dofen, they didn't cut her 3 days ago. They cut her now. Right? The blood came out derech rechem in that case. Then the second case...
I'm saying is referring to the mekasha shloshi yamim.
No. No, because the Mekasha Shloshiyam is again, there would be no room to discuss where the blood came out from by Mekasha Shloshiyamim. It would obviously be Derech Rechem, because for 3 days the blood is only coming out Derech Rechem. We're talking about now, by the Leda, there's dam that's coming out somewhere. So we said, where's this dam coming out from? So we said, Ravina says it's coming out Derech Rechem. Achidish says it's not Derech Dof, that it's coming out Derech Rechem. And we're going to see Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef holds, no, we're talking about dam that comes out Derech Dof then. So we're not talking about the same case of 3 days in a row. What do you mean, 3 days in a row, blood comes out derech dofen? The derech dofen, we only cut her up today to take out the baby. They didn't cut her up 3 days ago. So this is Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso and the Chum l'shitaso. That Rabbi Shimon holds that it is a leida. So the dam that comes out meaning that Derek Dolphin, the Vlad coming out Derek Dolphin, is a Leda. So Rabbi Shimon is going to hold that the Dam that comes out Derek Rechem during that Leda is going to be Tahar. It's going to be Dam of Leda. It's not going to be Dam of Nida. And the Rabbanon hold, there's no Leda going on over here. So Dam that comes out Derek Rechem is going to be Dam Nida, Dam Ziva, whatever it is, whatever days she's in the middle of, you'd count it as regular Tamei Dam. So, says the Gemara, two problems. Masr of Yosef Chada Dahina Resha. First of all, that's just a repeat of the Shitos again. We know already, Rabbi Shimon holds it is a Leda, the Rabban holds not a Leda. He's just repeating obvious ramifications of that Machlokas. Va'od Misham Makom Vlad Mashma. Furthermore, when it says Misham, that the Dam comes Misham, doesn't that imply that it's coming from the same place that the Vlad is coming? Misham implied, we just spoke about a Leda. So how can you say Misham means that it comes out Derech Rechem, if we just spoke about a Vlad that's Yotze, Derech Dofen. So says the Gemara, Elam Rav Yosef Rosif has a different reading of this second Machlokas. Kigon Shiyotze Vlad Vidam Derech Dofen. No, we're talking about a case where both the Vlad and the Dam come out, Derech Dofen. They both come out through the incision when they did the C-section. And the whole Machlokas is about whether Dam that comes from the uterus, even if it doesn't come out in the normal way, is it going to be Tameh as a result of the fact that it came from the uterus? Is the uterus itself Mekomo Tameh? Marsav and Mekar Mekomo Tameh. The Rabbanon hold Mekar Mekomo Tameh, and therefore it's Tameh. Such blood is Tameh. Umarsav, and then Rabbi Shimon holds Mekar Mekomo Tahar. And Mekar Mekomo Tahar, and therefore it's going to be Tahar. Right? That's what, if you look in Rashi, Rabbanon Tzav and Mekar Mekomo Tameh, Hilkach tipas dam mitama ve'afagav de derech dofen la ri'ihi letame yase isha tuma shiva miu tipa atzma mitama maga. It's not that the woman becomes a nida from this dam, because this is not blood that came out as nida blood. It's that not that the woman becomes a nida, it's that the blood itself is tame, because the blood touched the makar. And once the blood touched the makar, it is tame, and it could be mitame v'tumas maga. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, makar makam otahar, and therefore, this tipa that touches the makar does not become Tameh. So that's where Rabbi Shimon knows the blood is going to be Tahar. So Amr Reish Lakish, the divrei metame b'dam, metame b'isha. So Reish Lakish says, if you're metame the dam, you have to be metame the woman as well. The divrei metar b'dam, metar b'isha. If you're metar the dam, you have to be metar the isha as well. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, afal divrei metame b'dam, metar b'isha. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Even if you hold mekar mekom tame, and this blood is tame, the woman is still going to be tahar. We're just discussing the blood. Vaz Rabbi Yochanan tame, and this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitaso. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, mishum Rabbi Shimon Yichai, minayin she'ein isha tamei achiyat. How do I know Rabbi Yochanan says that a woman is only going to be tamei if the blood comes out in the normal way, the way your normal period comes out? That we see it's only if it comes out derech ervasa. It says v'galas ervasa, that exposes her ervasa. So only if the flow comes out derech ervasa, only then are we going to say that the woman is tameh. Period. Amrei shalach pishum Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. What happens in the following case? Once we're discussing makar makom tameh, what about the following? Makar shenek, or let's say a piece of her uterus, not the whole uterus necessarily, a piece of her uterus is removed somehow, v'nafala, or it falls out of her body, falls on the ground. So tameh, it's going to be tameh. Shenek, meaning if you touch it, you're going to become tameh, because makar makom tameh means that it is literally tameh. Shenemar, the pasuk tells us, yan hi shafeich nechushteich v'tigala er vaseich. So the pasuk teaches us that when he shafeich nechushteich, which we assume means the makar spills out, v'tigala er vaseich, that is some sort of erva, that is some sort of exposure of erva, which means that it's going to be tameh. So the mai, ilei mevutumas shiva damam rachman v'lochaticha. It can't be saying that the woman is tameh shiva because the makar fell out of her, because there's no such din. The din is if dam comes out of her, she's tameh like a nida, not if the uterus comes out of her. So ela l'tumas erev must mean that no, the uterus itself is tameh, and therefore she's going to be tameh by virtue of the fact that she touched the uterus on the way out when it came out of her body. So she's going to be tameh tumas maga, she's tameh until that evening. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makar sheizia kishtei tipe margolios tmeya. If the makar has two drops of blood that are clear, not blood, the liquid that are clear that drip from the makar, she's going to be tamei. Lemai, say ilay miltumas shiva. Again, if you want to say she becomes a nida chamisha dam tmeya beishav suvo, that's not true. We know that there are only five colors of dam, and clear isn't one of them. So that's not going to be considered dam nida. El tumas erev. No, what we mean to say is she's tamei by virtue of the fact that she touched that blood, that or that, whatever you want to call it, that liquid. So because that liquid touched the makar, so that liquid can now be metamir with maga. But only if it's two drops. If it's a single drop, we don't assume necessarily that it came from the makar. It may not have had anything to do with the uterus, and therefore she's going to be tahora. We do not assume the worst. Period. Now we move on to the second part of the Mishnah. Right, we pointed out yesterday that there are three basic parts of the Mishnah. First, we have the discussion in the Mishnah about whether a C-section counts as a Leda or not. And then we discussed the difference between the different types of Tumah, those that are Tameh, even when it's still inside the woman's body, like a Nida. Rashi said the Mishnah was talking about a Nida, that's Metameh even when it's inside the woman's body, but it's in the Beis HaChitzon. And those Tumos that are only Metameh once they emerge from the body. What's the case where it's only tame when it emerges from the body? That's like a zav, a balkeri, where it's only tame where it emerges from the body. So now we're going to focus on that part of the Mishnah. So heiniu beis achitzon. What exactly is the beis achitzon? Gemara says two possibilities. Three possibilities really, but two of them may be the same. Amrei shlakish kol shetinokes yosheves v'nireis. Anytime a young girl would sit, if she were squatting, and it would be exposed, so that would be called the beis achitzon. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan also makom gali hu etzel sheretz. He says no. Beis achitzon has to be something that's inside of the body. It can't be something that's considered galui. Anything that's considered galui, you could be metame even with tumas maga, right? There are three basic parts, three basic sections to a human body. There's what we call galui, beis astarim, and balua. That which is galui is that which is exposed, the outer level of skin. That's where you could be metame with tumas maga. If you touch a sheretz on a part of your body that's galui, you become tame. Then there's the exact opposite direction, balua, that which is completely enclosed, your kidneys, your liver, something that's completely inside of your body that is never exposed to the outside world. There's no tumah there whatsoever, and there's no chatzitzas there for tvila. You could have a pacemaker, but it's inside your, it's not going to be chatzitza or anything for tvila. Anything like that is never an issue when it comes to tumah. Then there's this intermediate place, the beis hastarim, which let's say the bottom part of the nose, the eyes, where sometimes it's exposed, sometimes it's not exposed. Now, beis hastarim is unique in that you can't transmit tumah in a beis hastarim. If a sheretz touches you in the beis hastarim, you're not tamei, but you can't. But a chatzitza would be a problem in the beis hastarim. That's why a woman, before she goes to the mikvah, has to brush her teeth, has to make sure her mouth is clean. She's not going to open her mouth in the mikvah. You don't need bias mayim, and tumah can't happen in the beis hastarim, but there can be chatzitza. So the part that we're talking about that's the beis hachitzon has to be a beis hastarim. It can't be that the beis hachitzon is really galui. That wouldn't, because then it's the same thing as leaving the body. Then it would be like the balkeri and the zav. We have to be talking about something that's a beis hastarim. So if we're talking about the place that's exposed when the girl squats, that would not be a beis hastarim. That would be galui. So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rabbi Yochanan. No, this is what we call the beis hachitzon. Ad beina shinayim, until the two pieces of flesh that are in the vaginal canal that you're able to see. Unclear exactly what it's referring to. At least unclear to me exactly what it's referring to. But up until that area is called the beis achitzon. So yibayilu beina shinayim kilufnim or kilchutz. What about that area itself? Is that considered inside or is that considered outside? So tashma the tani Rabbi Zakkai ad beina shinayim beina shinayim atzman kilufnim. But the beina shinayim themselves has a din of inside. V'masnisa tana, and then we have this third shita, sounds like a third shita, makom disha, the place of threshing. So what does that mean? My makom disha. I'm reviewed on makom shashamish dash. You want to know what the beis hachitzon is? It's until the area where the Aver Azachrus reaches during the course of Tashmish Hamita. That deep in is considered to be the beis hachitzon. That deeper in would be the beis hapnimi. But that deep in is considered beis hachitzon. Now this is a very important line, halach lemaisa, in terms of chatzitza for tvila. Mila. Because if you say Ad Makam Shashamash Dash is considered to be the Beis HaChitzon, that means you consider all the way until that area to be considered a Beis HaStarim and not Balua, which is very difficult to understand because it is not a situation, it's a part of the body that's never ever exposed to the outside, no matter what she does. She can't expose that part of her body 3 inches, 4 inches, 5 inches up. There's no way she could ever expose that part of her body to the outside. And you're still going to call that a Beis HaStarim? This is very Nogel Lemaisa in modern times, where one of the major forms of contraception that people use is a Nuva ring. And the way the Nuva ring works is this little plastic ring that a woman sticks inside of herself, and it stays a couple of inches up inside of her body. So does she have to remove it before she goes to the mikvah? So if you hold that area a few inches up is a din of a Beis HaStarim, so then she should have to remove it before going to the mikvah, because a Beis HaStarim is a makam of chatzitza. But if you hold that it's not considered a Beis HaStarim, that it's considered balua, so it's like a pacemaker. You don't have to remove it before you go to the mikvah. It's considered to be completely balua. So this is machlokas aposkim. What you, Rabbi Willick said, l'chadchilus you should remove it, but the avid it's not chotzeitz. There's a tshuva in the sefer Siach Nachum. Shalosh tshuva Siach Nachum. I forgot the name of the Rav Nachum Rabinovich. Maybe I don't remember exactly his name, but he's the only tshuva I know of on the topic of nuvaring. He's makel that you don't have to remove it. Rav Shechter read the tshuva, said he agrees that you don't have to remove it for a number of considerations. First of all, it might not be a chatzitza for another reason. It might be called eno makbid because a woman doesn't feel it. She doesn't care that it's there. There's never a point where she's makbid to dafka take it out. She takes it out when it stops working, just because it stopped working. So she might as well take it out. But there's never a point where she's dafka makbid take it out. Also, it's moist, so it could be that it's not a chatzitza anyway, because the whole thing is moist and the whole area is moist. Also, the Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about a woman who has an ear infection. She needs a cotton ball in the ear, where he says that a chatzitza, there are two types of that a chatzitza that's only a blocker but doesn't stick, it just blocks the area, is not a chatzitza. So this might be that kind of chatzitza, which would not halachically be classified as a chatzitza. But this is the sugya. There's a very interesting Rabbi Kiva Eger on the sugya, and the Behuda, they try to figure out exactly where the line is drawn between the Beis HaStarim and the and Balua in that area, and it's all from this Gemara. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Bivisara Melamed Shematam Bifnim Kabuchutz. We learn from Bivisara that when a Dam Nida does not yet emerge from the body, but it's in the Beis HaChitzon, that's already going to make her Tame as a Nida. Ve'en Liel Nida Zava Minayin. Good, so I know that's true about Nida. How do I know that's true about Zava as well? Tamalomar Zova Bivisara. That's what the pasuk says, Zova Bivsara. So even Bivsara, when the Zov is in her basar, it's still inside of her body, she's still Tameh. Paleta Shechva Zera Minayin. How do I know that the same is true? Even if she had Tashmish and she's just dripping Shechva Zera, Tamalomar Yihiyah. We learn from Yihiyah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, no, the din by Paleta Shechva Zera is not so. Daya Kibola, by Paleta Shechva Zera, she's not going to be Tameh if the Shechva Zera is still inside of her body. Ma Boala, Inam Tameh Achatetse Tuma Lechutz, Afiyanam Tameh. Just like the Boel, the man himself, when does he become Tameh? On account of his own Shechva Zera leaving his body. It's only when it leaves his body. So the woman who has the man's Shechva Zera dripping out of her body is only going to become Tameh when it leaves the body, not when it's still inside of the body. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, does Rabbi Shimon really hold of this concept that Daya Kabbalah, that whatever Tuma the Boel has, that's what she has, and no more? Vatanya, we have a brisa of Rachzu b'mayim tamar d'arev. Amar Rabbi Shimon v'chi ma ba zel l'lamdenu. What does this pasuk teach me? That if she goes to the mikvah, she's only tamay until erev, and then she becomes tar. Imlin, you know, geb shechva zera harei kvar nemar l'mata. Oh ish, if it's talking about someone who touched shechva zera, well, I already know it. El mibdeisha tumas beis hastarim hi, but tumas beis hastarim ena metama. And so it can't be that it's nogea shechva zera. She's not tamay from being nogea shechva zera, because that's only the shechva zera is only touching her in the beis hastarim. And as we said before, that which touches in the beis hastarim is not metame a person. Elish gzeres hakasuv hu. So it must be that this is a gzeres hakasuv, that even having nothing to do with maga, nothing to do with touching, the fact that she has shechva zera inside of her, that alone is metame her. So it's a gzeres hakasuv. Bottom line is, though, you don't see that it's the same din as the boel. The din of the boel is different. This woman has a separate gzeres hakasuv that she's tame. So says the Gemara. So that's the stira. How could you say Rabbi Shimon's Daya Kabbalah? You see over here, Rabbi Shimon clearly darshan's not Daya Kabbalah. And so Gemara, lo kasha, kan bimishameshes kan bipoletes. When a woman has tuma as a result of tashmish, seven gzeres hakasuv, even if nothing is coming out of her body, gzeres hakasuv that she's tame on account of the tashmish. It's not tumas maga, it's not poletes, it's a different tuma called tashmish. Poletes anyway is going to be tameh before it comes out of the body. She's going to be tameh because she was mishamish. Even when it's only in the beis hachitzon, the paletes is going to be tameh. Like the that's where we're going to say that it's not going to be tameh in the beis hachitzon. It's only going to be tameh when it emerges from the body, because that's where we say daya kaboala in the case of paletes. So we'll pick up that conversation about paletes and mishameshes and mirtashem tomorrow.